Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be discussing a little-known story about an act of friendship between two aviators during the Korean War. One was white, the other black, but their bond prompted best-selling author Adam Makos to write a book about them called Devotion. It's a moving and powerful piece of history, so stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Adam Makos. Adam's interest in military history began at a young age because of the influence of his two grandfathers. He wound up turning that interest into a career as a best-selling author. His first book was A Higher Call, about a German pilot during World War II who actually helped guide a damaged American bomber plane to safety. Now he's written another acclaimed story called Devotion. It's about Lieutenant Tom Hudner, a white New Englander from the country club scene, and Ensign Jesse Brown, an African-American sharecropper's son from Mississippi. They both became naval aviators during the Korean War, and one does his best to save the other's life. To share more of their story with us, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Adam Makos. Adam, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony.
Now, let's start with Devotion. You dedicate this book to the, quote, veterans of the forgotten victory in Korea. And I'm curious, why do you think that victory was forgotten? Because for me, I mean, MASH, you know, in its endless reruns on cable, the Korean War is always in the forefront. So how did we forget about this war?
Well, I think we consider the Korean War a tie. I mean, it ended along the same borders where it began. There's still a North Korea. There's still a South Korea. Technically, the war is ongoing. And I think we Americans like to forget a tie. You know, there was no victory parade. There was no ticker tape. There was no sailor kissing a nurse in Times Square. And so we're happy to just let this one go.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Adam, how much did you know about the Korean War before you met Tom Hudner, who's one of the subjects of Devotion?
I knew virtually nothing about it other than MASH and Captain Hawkeye Pierce. It was amazing that the Korean War was fought just 5 years after World War II. It was fought by the Greatest Generation. They used the same planes, the same tanks, the same bullets. And yet today there's no such thing as a Korean War buff. There's nobody who really reads Korean War books. But I think we're really missing something, and I think this is a story that's going to change people's minds.
Yeah, well, how did you meet Tom Hudner, and why did he make such a big impression on you?
Well, I met Tom at a Veterans History Conference in Washington, D.C. I was a young journalist. He had spoken the night before, and he was there in the lobby of the hotel reading his newspaper, ready to go home. And I caught a little bit of his story. I knew he did something incredible, because he wore the Medal of Honor around his neck. You know, that was his, he had the highest award in the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. He had done something incredible to save his friend Jesse Brown. So I had to figure out, who was this Tom Hudner, and what was so special about this Jesse Brown? Because to me, it's the human stories.
Sure.
What was it about these men that made them so remarkable?
Yeah, yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Adam Makos about his book, Devotion, an epic story of heroism, friendship, and sacrifice. Well, tell me a little bit about Tom Hudner before the war. Who was he? Who was this man who eventually tried to save Jesse Brown?
Well, Tom came from great privilege. He was from the country club scene of New England. His father had opened a chain of grocery stores, and so Tom, in the years just before World War II, he was on a path to go to Harvard to inherit the family business and to live a pretty comfy life. Mm-hmm. But he gave it all up to join the Navy, to go to the Naval Academy, and to become a fighter pilot because his country was at war. Now, World War II ended before Tom could see combat. So he became what you might call a Cold War warrior. Mm-hmm. And he was in those inner war years. The other half of the story is an incredible piece. That's Jesse Brown. Now, Jesse came from a vastly different lifestyle than Tom. Jesse was a sharecropper's son in Mississippi. And so he was dirt poor. He was literally out there farming the fields when he wasn't in school, barefoot, you know, wearing cutoff overalls. He'd go home at night to a house that was more a shack with a leaky roof, and they'd put out the mason jars to collect the rain when a storm would come. Mm-hmm. And Jesse by night would read Popular Mechanics. Huh. And he got this crazy idea. You know, he's reading, he'd shared a bed with his brother, reading by lamplight. He got this crazy idea that he would be a naval fighter pilot, a Navy pilot. And when he would be working in the fields and a plane would fly over, he'd tell the other sharecroppers, I'm going to do that someday. And they would just laugh at him. Now, during the World War II, the Tuskegee Airmen shook things up. They came through and they broke the color barrier in the Army.
Yeah.
There were 900 of them. But the Navy was different. The Navy didn't crack until Jesse Brown came along in 1949.
Yeah. Well, he faced a lot of racism during his youth, which kind of, I guess, kind of built up his what he would face even later, maybe going into the Navy. How did he prepare himself to not be defeated by that racism?
Well, that was a powerful part of who he was and what made him so different. His mother taught him at an early age. His mother was a missionary and a teacher. His father was a deacon at their local church. And they both taught him to let words roll off his back. So when someone called him a slur, when they would say the most hateful thing, his mother would say, you can let it get to you, Jesse, or you don't have to give the words any power.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just let him go. And so Jesse used to, and this was incredible, he would stand in front of a mirror at night when his family was out on the porch brushing their teeth because they didn't have running water.
Mm-hmm.
And he would curse himself in the mirror. Now imagine a 13-year-old boy looking in the mirror, calling himself every racial epithet there was.
Yeah.
And he taught himself to be hardened to it and to smile at it and to just let it go. And so when he got to flight training and people were picking on him and calling him every such name, he was immune to it by then.
Wow. He had steeled himself against the prejudice he knew he was going to face.
Exactly. And he loved his country,
yeah.
Tony. That was the amazing thing. What kind of young man loves a country that doesn't love him,
mm-hmm.
a country that won't let him eat in a restaurant or drink at a bar or sit in the front of a bus? He wanted to serve that country.
Yeah.
It says so much about him.
It's a testament to his character. I'm talking to Adam Makos about his book, Devotion, an epic story of heroism, friendship, and sacrifice. You just mentioned Jesse's father was a deacon in the family's church. I know his mother taught Sunday school. What role did faith play in Jesse's life and in shaping the man he became?
It played a major role in his life. I mean, Jesse would read his Bible before bed. He sang in the choir at their little church, a little 70-member church in the woods of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesse learned from religion that we have to aspire to a higher sense of value. We have to, our circumstances that we live in are one thing, but we have to rise above them. And so he saw the America he was living in, and it wasn't a beautiful place in 1949, 1950, in those years. But he saw what America could be,
mm-hmm.
and he knew he loved the spirit of this country, and he wanted to rise above those circumstances. And I think the faith was his anchor. I think it gave him that promise that things can be better.
Yeah, and I have to compliment you because there's one scene that really stood out for me in the book. Jesse's in the field, and he starts singing Ave Maria for his family out there. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to read because I could imagine it in my head, what it was like. You really painted it in these cinematic terms. So, you could see just from that, it's both Jesse living out the arts and also his faith in this overt way through praising God through song, which was a really great moment in the book.
Thank you, Tony. It really was. And when one of Jesse's brothers told me that story, because they helped with this book,
mm-hmm.
I said, oh my God, it's beautiful because it shows he was a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
And he was so well-rounded. He was an athlete. He was a scholar. He had deep faith. And he wasn't above singing in the fields, in a watermelon field. And that was his spirit shining through.
Yeah, yeah. Now, did Tom Hudner's Catholic faith influence him at all?
It did. It influenced Tom in a very quiet way. It was more of from a social justice perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a Catholic. Tom is a Catholic, and we're taught to love everyone equally,
mm-hmm.
especially the least of us, and at least of our brothers. And so Tom grew up with that. principle. His father told him, you know, a man will reveal himself through his character, yeah. not his skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And so that set up what Tom would do later on, but it set up his friendship with Jesse. When he saw Jesse, he saw a man. He didn't see an African-American. He didn't see skin color. He just saw his new flight leader. He saw a friend.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Adam Makos about his book, Devotion, an Epic Story of Heroism, Friendship, and Sacrifice. To me, that leads to even the greater questions about religion, because I was struck by this one part of the book. You write that one cadet who had never met a Jewish person told a Jewish cadet that he thought Jews might actually have horns, which really speaks to the mindset of the time. Did serving in the military, do you think, for some of these people, help dispel some prejudices, be they racial or religious?
It did. I think the military was ahead of American society back then.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse was on an aircraft carrier with 3,000 other men, and he and Tom were there. And Life magazine came out to interview him, and they interviewed him in the combat theater when he got to North Korea. And they said, how much racism have you experienced aboard this ship? And he said, not a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't believe it, but I think something unique happens in wartime. I mean, everyone is fighting for the survival of their loved ones back home. They're fighting for their homeland, and they know that their lives are all intertwined. And so true values shine through at that time, true character, and hatred and things like racism, they go right out the window because we really have to rely on each other.
Sure.
And so I think those men came home from that war and they were changed forever in their attitudes about other races. It was more or less the civilians in the United States. It was the civilians who carried on that legacy of racism for, you know, the next 30 years.
Right, yeah. Well, do you think the bond developed between Tom and Jesse because they saw that character in each other, you know, to the point that the one was willing to risk his life for the other one?
It totally was. When they were assigned as wingmen, they were bonded by professionalism. See, Navy pilots, these men flew the Corsair fighter, so it was a World War II plane, very dangerous to land on an aircraft carrier. I mean, you basically had, they said when you would be flying over this carrier, you would look down and it would look like a little scrap of driftwood in the sea. And you would go down and land your plane on that deck.
Mm-hmm.
So there was very little margin for error. It was the world's most dangerous job. And these men were both professionals because they both wanted to come home. They wanted to see another day. And they knew they had to rely on each other in this very dangerous business. So they were bonded by the fact that they were gentlemen. They had similar values, and they both were there for the same reason.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Adam Makos about his book, Devotion, an Epic Story of Heroism, Friendship, and Sacrifice. I just want to touch on the home front for a minute, because you refer to the wives and families on the home front as the heroes behind the scenes. What did you come to admire about these wives and families that you wrote about and that maybe you met some of them, too?
Well, the most important among the characters of this book was Jesse's wife, Daisy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And Daisy was his high school sweetheart, and they married, and she helped him get through flight training by standing at his side and basically being that shoulder that I don't want to say he could cry on, but there were times when Jesse would come home emotionally devastated, and she would perk him up, and she would inspire him to go back out there and keep fighting. And I admired how Daisy weathered the uncertainty of Jesse's job. She used to tell me that every time he would walk out that door in the morning to go to work, she would hug him like it was the last time she would ever see him.
Mm.
And even more importantly, when the Korean War came, when the war broke out, Tom and Jesse were given 10 days at home before deploying.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, Jesse prepared Daisy for what should happen if he should die. And he said, I want you to become a teacher. I want you to take the insurance money from my death, become a teacher. I don't want to see you end up in someone's kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the amazing thing about all this is that Jesse Brown and Tom Hutner did not have to go to the war. A pilot in their squadron had said, I don't want to be involved in this killing thing. I want to stay home. I didn't sign up for this.
Mm-hmm.
And they kicked him out of the squadron. But that man went home. He went to Buffalo, New York, and he survived the war. Yeah, there was shame. But you know what? Jesse could have done that.
Yeah.
He had already become a pioneer. He had his wife. He had a daughter. He had his whole future ahead of him. He could have backed out. But yeah. He and Daisy agreed. he made a bond with the United States of America to fight and defend her.
Yeah.
And both he and Tom Hudner were willing to risk their lives to keep that bond.
Yeah. Well, I keep mentioning the title of the book is Devotion, and you write about part of that act of devotion as the first chapter in the book. So I don't want to give too much away, but tell our listeners, you know, what is that act of devotion that earned Tom that medal and that really inspired this book?
On December 4th, 1950, the Korean War had turned very dire. We had 10,000 U.S. Marines surrounded by 100,000 Chinese communist troops.
Wow.
At a place called the Chosin Reservoir,
mm-hmm.
way up in northern North Korea. And back home, the American people were preparing to lose all these men, but they had a lifeline. The carriers off the shore, from the ships, men like Tom and Jesse would fly, and they would give air support to the Marines. So they would drop bombs and strafe, and that's when Jesse Brown was shot down. He was hit by a bullet from the ground from a Chinese soldier, and he crash-landed in the only place he could, on the side of a North Korean mountain.
Wow.
Now, it was a violent crash, and his plane broke at the nose, and he was trapped inside. Now, overhead, his wingman is Tom Hudner. And Tom looks down. Again, his friend is 13 miles behind enemy lines.
Mm.
He's in the snow, and Tom sees smoke rising from the nose of Jesse's plane. And he knows smoke means a fire is going to break out.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse is going to burn to death on that mountainside. So what do you do? What could a man do? Tom says, I'm going in. And all the other pilots were silent. Tom knew his friend was about to die, and he was willing to give his own life to try to change that. And with his wheels up, Tom circled around, and he crash-landed his aircraft intentionally on the mountainside alongside of Jesse. And he came to a skidding, screeching stop alongside of Jesse's plane. And Tom got out into that deep snow and set out to try to save his friend's life. It had never happened before. It has never happened since.
Wow.
What kind of man intentionally crash lands his airplane behind enemy lines to save a friend?
It's an incredible story. And, you know, as I was reading it, it seems Tom Hudner is such an obvious hero, but it seemed you are the one who kind of discovered this story. It was never written about before, right? What do you think this story hasn't been shared before?
Well, I think it hasn't been shared because there's a heavy element of tragedy to it.
Mm.
That day on the mountainside, I think we have to admit it. I think we have to say it. Tom lost Jesse that day.
Yeah.
Now, he was at his friend's side. He was with him to the last moment. He did everything he could to try to save him. He put out the fire with his bare hands. But Jesse was so badly injured in the crash that Tom, all he could do was wait there. He wasn't holding his hand, but it was just about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse gave Tom his last words, and Tom was with him at his side. Now, a lot of people, I think, forget about this. Tom lived. He got the medal. Jesse died. Jesse could have been like a Jackie Robinson, a Jesse Owens. He could have been a pioneer, but he gave his life. And so we forget him as a culture. Oh, he's old news. He died.
Yeah.
But what about, I mean, would we stop reading the Bible? I mean, we know the ending of that story. We know Jesus dies and is later risen. But do we say, oh, his life was for nothing because he died in the end? No,
yeah.
That's all the more reason to study how he lived in such a short time. It's the same with Jesse Brown. How did he change the people around him? How did he overcome those odds? How did this friendship become so beautiful and powerful that Tom Hudner would crash land his plane and almost give his own life for Jesse? What was so remarkable about this man? That's what we need to study.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why he's forgotten, but that's why it's wrong.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not a happy ending in the traditional sense, but there's something beautiful even in the tragedy, like you've just been describing. So, you know, I'm glad you wrote this book because this is a story that should be told. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Adam Makos about his book, Devotion, an epic story of heroism, friendship, and sacrifice. I also want to touch on Adam's first book, which is A Higher Call, which I really appreciated because it was this beautiful exploration of finding humanity in our enemies. For listeners who may not be familiar with that story, tell us a little bit about American Air Force pilot Charlie Brown and German ace Franz Stigler, how they crossed paths in World War II.
Well, this was the first book I had written and the most remarkable story, probably on par with the story behind Devotion. Charlie Brown was a 21-year-old bomber pilot just limping home over Germany, his plane shot to pieces, one man dead, five men wounded. He was just trying to get out of Germany when he flew over a German airfield. Now, on that airfield was a young German fighter pilot named Franz Stiegler. But Franz was an ace. He had shot down a lot of planes, and he hopped in his fighter to track down Charlie Brown and shoot him out of the sky. And when Franz came up behind this bomber, he waited for it to shoot at him, and when it didn't fire at him, he took his finger off the trigger. He saw it was defenseless, and he thought, I can't have this on my conscience for the rest of my life. And so instead of shooting it down, he escorted this bomber out of Germany, saluted, and he said to himself, good luck, you're in God's hands, and he flew away. That was his message to Charlie Brown. See, Franz Stiegler was a Catholic, and he flew with a rosary beads in his pocket of his flight jacket. And he flew home that day, and he never told a soul about what he had done. 50 years go by, and Charlie Brown never forgets this German who spared his life. And he searches the world to find him, and don't you know, he finds Franz Stiegler, and the two become best friends.
That's you have a talent for finding these stories, Adam, because that was another really good one. And again, with Franz Stiegler, it's interesting, because I know we have this image of Nazi pilots, but I guess for some of them, they weren't as devoted to Hitler as others, correct?
No. It's just like if we were in a big war today, if we were in a World War III with Russia and China and you name it, there would be people who would want to fight, and there would be people who had to fight. And it was the same way in the Vietnam War, in any war. You know, people are drafted. For Franz Stiegler, he was born on the wrong side of the world, under the wrong flag, back in the years after World War I. You know, you didn't say no to Hitler. You didn't say no. You didn't say, I'm going to sit this one out, or you'd be killed yourself. Mm-hmm. So Franz became a fighter pilot because he was able to justify it. He was able to say, okay, I'm shooting down bombers that are bombing my country and trying to kill my parents, trying to kill my friends. The fact that, you know, Hitler had started the whole thing, you know, he didn't have any power over it. So the thing about Franz Stiegler, there were good men on both sides of the war, and we found one of them. I'm not saying all the Germans were good. I'm just saying this man was an exception to the stereotype. And Charlie Brown was proof of that.
Yeah. I'm talking to Adam Makos about his book, A Higher Call, and also his other book, Devotion, An Epic Story of Heroism, Friendship, and Sacrifice. Going back to devotion, in the writing of this book, you travel to North Korea. That's a land that has kind of dark overtones in our popular media. What was that experience like?
It certainly does. And my mother was, she was not very thrilled that I was going there.
I can imagine.
And I went with Tom Hudner. So that was what changed things. See, Tom is, as a Medal of Honor recipient, he's one of our most decorated veterans, and the North Koreans respected that. Mm-hmm. I was really tagging along with Tom. And so I had an insurance policy. He was one keeping me safe and that medal around his neck. Mm-hmm. His family was a little hesitant. They didn't want to see him go. His fellow veterans said, don't go. The reason Tom went was because he made a promise to Jesse Brown. And I'm not even going to spoil what that was, but before Jesse died on that mountainside, Tom made a promise to come back for him. And in 2013, he kept that promise.
Wow.
And so I watched Tom Hudner step off the plane in North Korea, be picked up and met by the North Korean army, whisked away to the capital city. And he went there for a very powerful purpose. And that's why I say this story is about lifelong devotion. It's about their friendship. It's about that incredible moment where Tom did this, what some said, the captain of his ship said, there has been no finer act of unselfish heroism in military history, when he was describing what Tom did that day in the war.
Yeah.
And then 63 years later, he goes and he tries the impossible again.
Yeah.
And to keep a promise. It's an incredible, incredible story, and they lived it. I just wrote it.
Right, right. Well, in our closing moments, just tell us, Adam, what do you hope readers walk away from when they read this book?
Well, I hope they walk away with inspiration and hope for our future, because, you know, the race relations in America seem rocky right now, mm-hmm. but I also think we're exposed to the worst of it. The media plays up the worst of it. and we see it on television at night, and we're taught to fear each other. But if we look back to the friendship of these two men at a time that was darker in American history, at a time when the races didn't even associate with each other, they can show us the way to the future. And I also hope that when we read this book, we discover the Korean War. We all have a Korean War veteran somewhere in our family tree. We don't know what they were fighting for, why they were fighting, but this beautiful story can open our eyes to these forgotten heroes and can show us this war that we can't imagine. And that way, no generation of American veterans will be forgotten. And so, Tony, one of the great things we've seen is that people are buying this book and they're passing it on to their family. So mm-hmm. this book's been read 5 or 6 times in one family. It doesn't help me as an author. you don't sell books that way. But that's what we set out to do. We set out to see this story spread like wildfire.
Right.
And that's what it's doing. It's capturing hearts. It's inspiring people. And they are telling their friends, you have to read this.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Adam Makos about his book, Devotion, an Epic Story of Heroism, Friendship, and Sacrifice. You know, everything the Christophers do revolves around this idea that it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. And really what you get out of this book, Devotion, and out of Adam's book, A Higher Call, are people who are lighting a candle in the darkness. They're risking their own lives to help somebody else. It's a powerful story. Both of them are powerful stories, and I really can't wait to see what story of forgotten heroes that Adam will come up with next, because that seems to be a specialty. So pick up Devotion by Adam Makos, and Adam, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Hey, great to be with you, Tony. Thanks so much.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Though making friends on social media is popular nowadays, real-world relationships are vital to your spiritual well-being. You need to establish friendships that go beyond superficial interests, ones that create bonds to touch your soul. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Building Spiritual Friendships. It shares vital insights about finding companions for your spiritual journey who will stick with you through highs and lows, good times and bad, from here to eternity. To request your free copy of Building Spiritual Friendships, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.